When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Can I get y'all anything else?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brett Pope. I hope you saved room for dessert.
I'm almost full. Almost.
Who doesn't love dessert? You have earned this.
Breakfast.
Homemade pecan pie. I love whatever happened to angel food cake. Any type of rhubarb pie. Rhubarb strawberry. Rhubarb peach. That's sour and sweet together. It's hard to beat. Who saved room for dessert? It's dessert breakfast.
I'll get that right to you.
So you're on one of my wife's favorite shows, Queen of the South. You had a nice little run there. How was that working on that show? Where did you guys shoot?
So at the time, I think that was season 2 or 3. I can't remember.
I believe season 2.
Was it season 2? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at the time, they were shooting in Dallas.
Really?
Yeah. They shot the whole show in Dallas at the time.
That's so strange to me. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. It was weird because the reason I even got that part, honestly, was because at the time I had a local Dallas agent. So when I kind of started early off in my career.
Where you were living in Arizona?
I was living in LA actually.
Oh, you were in LA and okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Dallas agent. Okay.
I had an agent in like every market at one point. I had so many different agents. I couldn't even keep track
right.
of who all these agents were. But my idea at the time when I was trying to build a lot of credits was like, let me have an agent everywhere else. I'll fly to wherever it is. I'll get the credit just so I have it on my resume. And then, just kind of to build it up basically.
Yeah.
Well, I had a local Dallas agent submitted me for a role on that show. It was just a co-star role. I did the self-tape and I was supposed to be a local hire. The scene was like me tied to a chair and this guy's beating me up or something. And anyway, I sent it in. I didn't hear anything. A little while back, that agent reached out to me and they were like, hey, they really loved your tape a lot. They really like you for this. They like you so much that they actually want you to audition for a bigger part.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know? And the breakdown actually came out in LA, but because I already had an in with them, she was like, hey, do you want to go to the casting office in Los Angeles to audition for it? Or do you want to just send in a tape? They're fine with either one, whatever you want to do. And I was like, well, I think I'm just going to send in a tape. I don't know.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I was like, I don't know what, I felt like I don't want to go in there and ruin it because they'd already sort of built it up to say like, oh my God, they loved your audition so much. So I just sent in a tape for the new role and then literally found out and my agent called me. She's like, can you get on a plane today?
Wow.
I was like, what? They're like, oh, they need you on set tomorrow. And I was like, okay, like I got to fly to Dallas now. And they're like, yeah, you got to get on there like now. So then we flew out there and then I was out there for a few weeks. But yeah, the experience on the show was great, man. It was interesting as well because the director of that episode was Eduardo Sanchez.
Okay.
I don't know if you know who that is, but he directed the Blair Witch Project.
Right.
I kind of nerded out on that because that movie is very iconic. And
I still love the Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
and I've watched every documentary, Blair Witch 2, even not as good, but still.
Yeah.
And it's such a great story. And it was kind of the beginning too, right? You said it's
for
iconic
sure.
because the first time where we've seen like,
all these found films now.
Found films and like from someone's just like, like stuff like Cloverfield later.
Right.
It was like that. And,
right.
But yeah, that's cool, man, that you get to work with him. Were there elements of
that type of filmmaking that we're still in Queen of the South? It doesn't seem like it.
No, not at all.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he was so over it because I even mentioned it to him at some point, and I was like, hey, man, yeah, I just want to say it's really cool working with you and, like, yeah, big fan of Blair Witch and stuff like that. And he kind of gave me, like, the thing of, like, a, yeah, yeah, I know.
He was like, oh, I just knew I should.
Can we stop mentioning this Blair Witch thing? I can do other things. I can do other things.
I was promised this guy wouldn't mention the Blair Witch Project.
Right, like, right. I know. So, yeah, but I mean, it was cool working with him, and obviously the cast is amazing. It was a really good experience, and that was my first, if I'm recalling back, it was my first recurring guest star role on a show.
And you got to do pretty much everything you need to do in drug lord crime type show in those five episodes. You know, you had the standoff with all the guns pointing at each other.
Yeah.
You know, you shooting at people, talking trash, you know, everything that you get to do in, you know, all those.
Yeah.
Pretty great. I guess I knew you at the time, but originally when I watched it, I was like, I didn't even recognize it as.
We knew of each other maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't recognize you as, oh, that's Johnny. I was like, oh, I kind of recognize that guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think we had met, but I was like, you know, it's so out of context.
Sure.
Because obviously
the roles I play are.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, he had a lot of tattoos. Are all your tattoos?
No, I only have two tattoos.
Okay.
Yeah, they that was the other thing too, is I feel like every role now I get blasted with tattoos. But that's another process of, like, literally 2 hours every day just sitting in a makeup chair.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably takes a while.
Yeah.
And then, what is it, like, kind of henna style that they put it on there or something?
Yeah, some are actually designed by an actual artist, and other ones are, like, ones that they've sort of pre-selected and they want in certain places, and they have to have, like, a certain indicating of, like, the gang that you're in or whatever it is. It's funny because when I was in Dallas, I got so tired of, like, sitting in the makeup chair every day for that long that I told the makeup artist, like, hey, you know what, like, because they would last for several days if you were careful with them.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, look, don't take any of them off. I don't want to do this all the time. I'm just going to leave them on and I'll just walk around the town, even if I'm off that day.
Yeah.
I don't really care, you know? And she's like, are you sure you want to walk around like this? And I was like, yeah, I don't care. And I never realized how bad, like, people sort of put people in that place when they see someone with tattoos. That's very stereotyped, you know, like, that I would literally, like, walk around, like, the mall and, like, you know, the tattoos are all up my neck, my whole arms, full sleeves. And, like, people would definitely look at me a certain kind of way. Yeah, I remember even getting into an Uber in Dallas and this guy kind of looking over to me. I have a tendency to ride in the front. I don't know why. I just feel like, it's polite. I don't want to feel like I'm just a passenger anyway. And the guy was like, hey, man, those are some really cool tattoos. And I was
did he say that in the? Did he mean, like, hey, those are scary tattoos? Or did he really mean, like, these are cool?
I felt like it was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And I just kind of was like, it was just like, hey, you know, they're not real. And he was like, what? I was like, nah, they're not real. And he was just like, what do you mean? And I was like, you know, that's what I mean. And he was kind of just like, kind of just left it like that.
I gotta be honest.
It's very ominous.
If I'm that guy and you said that would freak me out, because I was like, I would go home and be like, what did that mean?
Yeah.
Like, was he saying, like, you didn't see these tattoos, dude,
because
the people are looking for me, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That's kind of funny that you just left it like that. That says something about your personality, that you're kind of a troublemaker, Johnny Ray Diaz, I believe.
I like making people feel uncomfortable.
Thank you.